Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 14. There's a misprint on the bulletin. Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 31. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him, one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said, "Likewise." So our reading of God's word. If you have a part, as we hope next Lord's Day to celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is well for us to be reminded of how important it is. Not only in terms of the Lord's Supper, but also in terms of worshiping God, in terms of coming before his throne of grace as he has ordained for us in the Sabbath. That it is extremely important for us to avail ourselves of the means of grace, because otherwise we're going to find ourselves in deep trouble. If we have this idea that our minds are filled with God's word and we know the general truths of Christianity and therefore they're really at our fingertips and we really don't need to go through these means of grace, that they're somehow just automatically operative, then we are going to get into a lot of problems. For us to forsake the gathering together of the saints is a dangerous thing. Dangerous for us, that is. That we leave ourselves exposed. We leave ourselves weak. And so this passage and the title might lead you into thinking that the pastor is going to talk about fencing the table, guarding the table. Well, I am. But not in the way that you think. I'm not so much interested today in the idea of ensuring that only those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ come around the Lord's table. We've already issued that statement with respect to celebrating next Sunday. Now, this guarding of the table is to ensure that all of us come. It is to ensure that we don't take it lightly. It's to raise the importance of the means of grace that God has provided. And that is what I think comes through in this passage. It's rather like Psalm 23. We confess that the Lord is our shepherd and that we don't need anyone else. But then the psalm says, He makes us lie down. Why does He make us lie down? Because so often we're reluctant to do it. We don't think we need it. Oh, we can carry on. We don't have to stop. Oh, but you do. You do need to stop. You do need to lie down in green pastures. You do need to drink by the still waters. You're not as strong as you might think. In and of yourself. We are still the sheep, by the way. And He's still the shepherd. And we are still prone to going our own way. And so it's important that we guard the importance of the Lord's Supper and the worship of God, regular services. Because these are the means of grace. God has provided them on a regular basis. He didn't do that for no reason. He could have done it every month if He wanted to. He could have said, well, you only have to come once a year. But He didn't. He did it every week. Every Sabbath. That should impress upon us the need that we have of regular use of the means of grace. And so if you're prone to not using the means of grace, not really seeing the importance of it, not elevating it, not protecting it, then this passage, I trust, will impress that upon you. So here we have in this passage, the time has come for the celebration of the Passover. And the disciples are not aware of any things that have been organized or preparations that have been made. And it's getting close. I don't know whether you're a spontaneous person and just like to do things last minute. Or whether you like to plan a year in advance. There's some people like that. So the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ about that. And they said, Lord, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? I mean, we haven't made any preparations. And it's getting close. So, where are we going to celebrate the Passover? And so notice what the Lord Jesus Christ does. I mean, he doesn't say, it's all in hand, we're going to celebrate, you know, in such and such a house, right? And, you know, we'll meet there and we'll celebrate the Passover. You would have think that's all he had to say. But he doesn't say that. He says that they were to go into the city and a man will meet them carrying a pitcher, and they were to follow this guy to a house, and wherever he went in, they were to go to the master of that house and say that the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. Make ready for us. You know, why this convoluted way of saying we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper? Why not just tell them the house? Why not just tell them the guy's name? Why this secretive way? Well, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is taking precautions so that nothing disrupts their celebration of the Passover. It was so important to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he said, I've desired to celebrate this with you. It's been on his mind. It was important to him. And so when they ask him where he's going to stop, he doesn't tell them. He tells them all this. I mean, it's I don't know, the kids are going to get presents and give them all these notes and they have to go searching for them, right? Instead of just giving them the present, they have to go through all of these ways. But Jesus had a very good reason. Because if you look at the two verses before the passage that I read, it says this. It says, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently. So in other words, in the midst of his 12 disciples was a mole, we might say, a deceiver. And he was looking for an opportunity to betray the Lord Jesus Christ to the chief priest, to have him arrested, and no doubt to be put to death. And so here is Judas in the midst of the 12, and they're saying, where shall we prepare the Passover? And in order to guard this celebration, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come out and tell. Because if he did, you can imagine what would have happened. The exact same thing that happened when Judas, after the celebration, left. Where did he go? He went exactly to the chief priests and told them exactly where the Lord Jesus Christ was and brought them to arrest him. Of course, before he came, they had already left and gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. But they followed, didn't they? They arrived there in the end. That was what his intent was. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew that. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ is always 10 steps ahead of the devil. And so no doubt when Judas had his ears ready to listen, when they said, where are you going to celebrate the Passover? He so eagerly wanted to know so he could rush off to the chief priests and say, there, he's going to be at such and such a place, and you can go and arrest him there. And this wonderful event, this necessary event, this comforting event for his disciples would have been scuttled. And they would have faced the arrest and the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ without being prepared by this means of grace. And so the Lord Jesus Christ guards the table, protects the table, protects that celebration because it is so necessary for his disciples to be there. And so he keeps the devil at bay by keeping the instrument that the devil used to try and scuttle this wonderful celebration through Judas. And Judas is helpless. Helpless. He wants to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has no information. And Lord Jesus Christ keeps that information from him. The question is, what do you do? What do you do to protect the celebration of the Lord's Supper? What precautions do you engage in? How do you keep the devil from scuttling your celebration of the Lord's Supper? What things does he bring up in our lives that cause us to say, oh, it doesn't matter, I can't make it. Oh, this is more important, I'm going to do this. What things did the devil bring into your life that leads you or us into forsaking the gathering together of the saints? That we're pretty strong Christians and we can go without. It's okay for us to miss a week or 2 weeks. We have it all together. We're pretty mature in the Christian faith. It's a subtle attack where he pats us on the back on the one side, saying how strong we are and how we can do without and we can afford to miss. And yet on the other hand, he's undercutting us, weakening us, seeking an opportunity to lead us astray, seeking an opportunity to estrange us from the Lord Jesus Christ, to put a wedge between the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, our Savior, in whom we are more than conquerors, and to stand on our own two feet. So easy for us to do that. We think we're theologically astute. Oh, we can explain some of the more difficult doctrines in the scriptures. We know the scriptures. We know the books of the Bible. We know how they're divided. We know the history of these things. And the devil says all of these things in order for us to become confident in ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ showed that this was very important. And he took measured steps in order to guard that celebration, that they would benefit, that they would be provided for everything that they need, equipped for every good work that they would be called to do, and every struggle that they will be called to undergo in the next day or so. That was extremely important. The Lord took the necessary steps. And I trust that you and I, every week, take the same precaution. Because it's extremely important for you to be at the means of grace. Not necessarily to listen to me, not necessarily to fellowship with God's people. No, to listen to him and to fellowship with him. To be brought to lie down in green pastures, to be brought to have the time to drink of the still water, so that we can be reminded that he is our good shepherd. And though we might be called to walk through that valley of the shadow of death in the coming week, we will not have any fear, because we have been reminded that he guides us, he comforts us, his rod and staff. Even in those difficult moments, he will restore our soul. And even if we are called to glory, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. People of God, every week, we need the Lord's grace. We need to hear his voice. We need to be reminded that we feed on him. And he is taking care of us. How does he do that? Where do we derive that strength? Well, we've already alluded to it in the Psalm version. He makes us lie down. He quietens our soul. He makes us rest. And he feeds us. He gives us drink. He anoints our head with oil. He provides us with the means of grace, and that is what we find when they come to this room and they celebrate. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ brings out before them. These wonderful provisions that wonderfully display our basic need and dependence upon God. This sacrifice that used to be in the Old Testament, right? The killing of the lamb and having the blood on the lintels of the doorpost, so that the angel of death would not visit us with curses, but rather pass over in grace. And of course that was pointing forward to the New Testament and to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the means by which that was going to happen now is transferred from the Passover lamb version to the bread and the wine. This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood of the covenant, so that sins may be forgiven. That's what the Lord's Supper does for us. It lays out this solid foundation upon which our lives are built. It's based on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, his perfect life, and his perfect sacrifice for our sins. That's what your life is based on. That's what my life is based on. That's where we stand. And that's the place from which the devil cannot defeat us. Every other place is sinking sand. Every other place, he has no problems. He doesn't have to do anything. We're sinking as it is. But once we stand on the solid foundation of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has absolutely no chance. And he knows it because he's already been humiliated by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been disarmed. He's been made a spectacle of. Whatever attacks he had have been foiled, and he has not been able to stop the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing this wonderful salvation. And he's never been able to stop the Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing all God's purpose. Whatever traps he laid failed. And the latest trap that he had was Judas, and he failed because it was kept from him. So he has to sit silently and see it all played out before his very eyes. And he could do nothing. People of God, you and I need to be reminded of the basic truths of the gospel. You and I need to be reminded that you're on solid ground. That all of this shaking that's going on, all of this tumult that is going on, that you are secure. You are secure. I mean, that's what the Psalms speak to us about, right? Be still and know that I am God. When the storms are raging and threats are coming from every direction, It's that thought that brings peace into our hearts. That we dwell safely. That we are cared for. That we are founded on this solid foundation that no one can shake, and the devil cannot shake it. He can't remove us from it. Because why? Because we're in the Father's hands and no one can snatch you out of the Father's hands. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. None of us are strong enough that we never have those moments. We do have those moments. And they don't give us warning ahead of time. They come. They strike very quickly. And all of a sudden, we're in a storm. Everything was going nice, and they had control of the boat, and everything was fine. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ was sleeping in the boat. Everything was under control. And in a few moments, they're waking him up, saying, "Don't you care that we drown?" And that's what happens in your life. And so we need to be reminded to focus. I mean, the mind is like that. Anything that you know, the mind kind of rolls its eyes when you start thinking about it. Because, oh, I know that. Let's move on. I mean, that's with our eyes too, you know. When you look at something and the images are coming, the brain gets lazy and says, "Wait a minute, you're giving me the same images all the time. I'm not going to concentrate anymore." And that can happen spiritually too. I know these things. But we're not really thinking about them. We're not really understanding how important they are. We've heard it so many times before. No. When we come into God's presence and when we celebrate the Lord's Supper in particular, we need our wits about us. We need to do it with our mind engaged. We need to shake ourselves into reality and say, take note, so that we might not be bored with the gospel. Rather, like the Apostle Paul, we might rejoice and say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Whatever the devil brings, we are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. What God has done for us is more than we will ever need. It is sufficient for everything that we face in life and in death. We pray for healing. But we never hinge success on that. We don't say, "Well, we're going to pray for this pastor in Ripon, but we don't want to think about, you know, negatives, right, where the life is lost." No. We take that into consideration too. We take that into consideration. That doesn't change our outlook. We're going to have the victory. Either way, we're going to have the victory. Because our God, as Jesus said, is the resurrection. And so the Lord Jesus Christ lays out before them the solid foundation that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have to fear. They need to stand firm on this solid foundation. They need to recognize that their safety and security is not based on their abilities. It's not based on how strong they are in and of themselves. Is based on the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, he doesn't say, "I'm more than conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror," and sticks out his chest. That's not what he said. He said, we're more than conquerors through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only as we stand in him, it's only as we stand on him, that we can move forward. Not with brash confidence, but with inward steadfastness. Because because we know that he is never going to let us down. And so again, it's a way of guarding the truths that we make use of the means of grace, that God may quieten our hearts, that it may give us resolve, that we may have that peace that passes all understanding, even though we are faced with all kinds of threats and uncertainties around us. And that's exactly the context in which that verse comes, doesn't it? Be anxious for nothing. What does that presume? That presumes there are anxieties all around us. There are worries all around us. And we're told not to cave to them. But with all thanksgiving, to make our supplications known to our faithful shepherd. And it's that when we do that and understand who he is, that we receive that peace that passes all understanding. We can experience what Paul speaks about his life of knowing what it is to abound, knowing it is what it was to be low, knowing to have struggles and have needs. But in all of these things, says Paul, I've learned to be content. He's learned to see the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He's learned to see that Christ is there strengthening him. And even though he struggled with that thorn in the flesh, God reminded him to go back and contemplate what he had confessed before. My grace is sufficient for you. And so these truths of the gospel are not to be taken for granted. We ought not to look at them and say, oh, I don't have to think about them. It's pretty obvious. I've thought about it before. No, no, no. Take another look. Take a fresh look. So the Lord Jesus Christ presents these wonderful truths to them in visible form, in sacramental form, and assures them that one day he will celebrate with them in the kingdom of God. I mean, there's success already. Christ is giving them assurance that even though deep waters and troubled waters are coming, and very quickly at that, that nevertheless, it's all going to work out for God's glory and for our benefit. We will celebrate with him. And no matter what happens in the next few days, they are never to let go of that. And you and I have that. As I was saying, no matter how things work out in this week and in our life, whether we have an illness and we recover from it and God heals us, or whether we don't and we succumb to death. These promises are certain for each and every one of us. And so there is that strength, that inner peace that each and every one of us can have. But finally, there are implications the Lord Jesus Christ brings out here. Because as he's telling them all of these things, Jesus says in verse 27, lest we be overconfident, Jesus says, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. They're going to fail. They're going to be overcome with struggles. But Jesus doesn't criticize them. He doesn't say, what a wretched lot you are. I mean, all that I've done for you, this is what's about to happen. He doesn't say that. He assures them, doesn't he? He says, but after I have been raised, I will go before you to God. You're going to fail, but I'm going to succeed. And I'm going to strengthen you. And so Peter, as you know very well, says, well, you know, it's not going to happen to me. I mean, Jesus lays it out. He said, no, 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 it's not going to happen to me. And I can tell you the same thing. Even in the week before we come to the Lord's Supper, and also the week after we come to the Lord's Supper, we are going to fail. You are going to fail. You are going to sin. But Christ will forgive us and cleanse us and restore us and keep us on that path of righteousness. And we will not be removed from that solid foundation that has been laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is not going to succeed. He's going to try. And he is going to make it difficult for us. But he's not going to win. Absolutely not going to win. And so you need to know that. Because if you hold yourself to the level of perfection and say, oh, I have to be this, I have to do this, I mean, you're gonna fall flat on your face. And the devil's going to use that to discourage you and say, well, you said this, but look, this happened. I don't think you really mean what you say about the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't really believe in him. And so he's going to erode our assurance. We need to realize that we are going to struggle. And there's going to be times that we fall. The Lord Jesus Christ grants us forgiveness. And so even though Peter is adamant about the fact that he's not going to do that, he's not going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to stand firm, even to the point of death, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds him of the sad reality. Peter, I know you love me. I know you're loyal. I know you mean well. But this night you're going to deny me 3 times. Even before the night is out, you're going to deny me 3 times. But remember what Jesus said to him. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. People of God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith would fail. Doesn't matter how much you know. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us would fail. And the only reason we don't fail is because Christ stands for us. And the Holy Spirit keeps us and guides us and rescues us. So it's important that we come around the Lord's table. It's important that we make use of the means of grace. Because no matter how strong you think you are going to trip. And the devil is going to use that to undercut you. But the more we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we are grounded in that solid foundation that the Lord's Supper and the preaching of God's Word reminds us of, the more we understand that, the more we are able to look to him and to confess our sins and to be assured of forgiveness and cleansing and to take up our task, our delightful task, to serve him all of our days. The disciples went through a terrific week. Very difficult week. But being prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ, they turn the world upside down. People of God, we need to be there. We need to be here so that we too can remain strong and turn the world upside down. Amen. That is. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful and privileged and grateful to be found in your house. We're thankful that you've guarded us from all the distractions that the devil would bring. And you have brought us into your presence. And our Father in heaven, we thank you for that because We are a needy people. We need to be assured. We need to be reminded of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded that we're in your hands. And though we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, we're so thankful that through the means of grace that you provide, we are able to stand firm and to be covered when we do fall, because you raise us up in your grace and you strengthen us by your Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you for this wonderful means of grace. And we pray that you would indeed guide us throughout this week and keep us in the palm of your hands, and that we may come and celebrate the Lord's Supper once again next Sunday, and to worship you also this evening, to sit at your feet, to let you minister to us by the still waters and the green pastures. Our Father, hear our prayers and receive our thanks, for we bring them all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the red hymnal, number 703.